It is a favorite among kids and parents alike. In fact, it's viewed more on the internet than any other song, and we are so happy today to have with us an individual who's going to sing it. Hi, Pastor Mark Smith.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tom. Yes.
Well,
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I sang that back in the 60s in Vacation Bible School.
1860s?
No.
1960s. In fact, I have it in front of me. Have you got it memorized?
Oh, absolutely. Can't forget that.
Okay, go ahead and maybe do a little
song. You want me to sing it?
Sure, sure.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Is that right?
The last word was the only one you had wrong. It's, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house to stay.
Oh, to stay.
Ah. But that's very good.
Oh, yeah. You don't. There's certain things in your childhood you don't forget.
Yeah. Mine was Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Or Santa Claus is coming to town. Uh-huh. I was always afraid of
the cold. I remember those two. Yeah.
Yes. Guess what we're going to be talking about today on this Tuesday, March the 20th. We're going to be talking about Zacchaeus. It's the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday.
Yes.
And
great story.
Yeah, great story. In fact, there's a lot in this story that a lot of people don't realize at first. Because Zacchaeus is so moved, he gives out half his goods.
And yes.
Even more than that, than four times,
and promises to if he's gypped anybody in his tax collecting, he promises to repay them four times what he defrauded them of.
Well, now there's somebody who merited his way to heaven.
No,
what?
No, he was just so moved by the fact that Jesus shared the afternoon with him or whatever time of day it was, and that he visited his house and showed some love and acceptance to him and probably shared with him the gospel. I mean, this guy wasn't, he was an outcast in his own neighborhood. He was a chief tax collector, which made him a real scoundrel in the eyes of the Jewish people. I mean, they didn't want to have anything to do. He was a small man, so the kids made fun of him, and he didn't have a friend in the area.
Judaism, and here was a problem I had with their attitude towards him, is that if you were lame or blind or deaf or mute, you weren't even allowed to go to the temple
proper. That's right.
Because you were considered to be infirm, and that was punishment from God. Poverty was also an example of punishment. But wealth, like many of the Pharisees were, was an example of God smiling upon you.
Oh, yes.
Well, then how did they get around the fact that Zacchaeus was so wealthy?
Well, he was wealthy because,
yes,
because of the tax system in those days. But, he worked for the Romans. The Romans, that tainted him thoroughly.
I understand that part.
And he was a chief tax collector, not just a regular tax. He was a chief tax gatherer.
I understand that. What my point is, how come they didn't consider his wealth to be a benefit from God? I mean, they were thinking of it in themselves.
I don't know. I guess when you work for the Romans, you're a tax collector. That pretty much and that overshadows anything else.
I think you're right there. What I'm trying to show is the inconsistency of those who don't follow the Bible. They would consider their own wealth to be a blessing from God, but somebody else's wealth, who they didn't like, like Pontius Pilate. Or the Romans, they wouldn't consider to be blessing from God.
Right. No, they wouldn't even go into his house.
No, that's how inconsistent people are when they leave God's holy word. Well, I think we need to really take a look at this text. Remember, the goal is, how do we get across to our children? So why don't you start reading? It's in Luke chapter 19, and in fact, it's the first verses there. And go down to verse 6.
Okay.
Luke 19, 1 to 6.
Okay. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through, And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully.
Yes. Now, that's the first six verses. He wanted to see Jesus because he had heard about him. Now, I was watching a video on YouTube, and it'd be great to play it right now. The trouble is, we're on radio. And so it's really very, very good. It has Jesus walking along with his disciples, and Zacchaeus climbs up onto the limb of the sycamore tree. The trouble is, there's a lot of silence between when they're talking, like Jesus sees them, then he has to climb down. Mm-hmm. And so it would be a little hard here to do it. But what I find out in the video, what they did is, Zacchaeus comes down, and he comes to Jesus and bows down and says he is not worthy for Jesus to come to his house. And I don't really see
that's
that
not in here.
In
that's,
the text, is it?
That's probably, they probably took that, interpolated that from, well, you know, that sounds like the story of the centurion.
Yes.
You know, when he didn't want Jesus to, oh no, I'm not worthy to come under your, you're not worthy to come under my roof.
Right, right.
I am not.
There's no doubt that
yeah.
does occur
right.
in the scripture. Good point.
But not here.
But not here. In other words, he also says, just as they're finishing eating, that he'll, you know, give away his goods and such, which is true. What I find interesting, the first point I want to make, is, do you think Zacchaeus had that repentant attitude when he first met Jesus?
No.
No.
No, I think that's a result of him visiting him and talking with him and sharing with him.
You I know, think I mean, you're right.
I don't see that coming until afterward. I mean, there's no doubt this guy was overjoyed that of all the people in the Jericho community, he chooses, of all people, to stay with him that day. I mean, you know, he was an outcast. Nobody ever wanted to stay with him.
Yeah, we're going to get to the reason why Jesus does that, because it becomes pretty clear later on.
Well, it sounds to me, doesn't it to you, Tom, that this was definitely on Jesus' agenda for that day. He says, I must stay at your house today. In other words, Zacchaeus was one of his elect.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Well, we're going to hear about that in a moment. I don't want to get to that quite yet. I want to go back to the Philippian jailer. And people really get messed up with this in Acts chapter 16, when after the earthquake and the jailer is all scared, and then Paul says, no, we're all still here. He says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Now, there are some scholars who would consider that to be a gospel imperative. What they mean by that is Paul is telling them what he needs to do. But I see this as strictly a command. You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's no doubt that that is absolutely true. But there's no doubt that the statement in and of itself cannot motivate anybody to be saved, because it's not gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find so interesting is the very next verse. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Then after that they mm-hmm. were baptized. Mm-hmm. In other words, they were not baptized first.
Mm-hmm.
First had to come the word of the Lord. So we can say to people, yeah, the way we're saved is believing on Jesus Christ. But then if you don't share with them the gospel, nobody's going to come to faith.
That's right.
In fact, I am stopping saying that the means of grace are word and sacraments.
Word and gospel is what you say, right?
No, gospel and sacraments.
The gospel. Oh, yeah, what am I thinking? Yeah. Gospel and the sacraments.
Because the word has too many meanings, and it includes law, which is not a means of grace. It includes the history of the Bible, which mm-hmm. saves nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But the gospel are the promises. So gospel and sacrament. I had a wonderful time out at Zion Peabody last Saturday with a men's club. You know,
I bet they had a good breakfast for you.
Well, the women served the breakfast, so I tell you, that was one to be at. Now,
I'll bet.
Pretty soon the women will be having an item, and then the men are serving, so I'm not going to that one. But anyway, they were talking about fried fish or something.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, they're really good fishermen out there.
Bet.
In fact, I got a little fisherman hook, you know, that I can put on. Yeah.
Ambassadors for Christ, right? Isn't that what they used to, the emblem they used to use?
No, this actually has a real hook on it.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then on top of a little fish and such, because remember, what does ichthus mean?
Ichthus means fish.
And how did they use the letters?
And it means Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior.
Very good. Yeah, it was a... What do they
call
it?
It's an acronym.
Acronym. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior.
Yeah. And so a lot of times when persecution was high, the Christians would draw a fish in the...
sand.
Yes.
Right.
And that would be an indication that, that they were Christians. But the reason I'm going to the Philippian jailer and why it's just so sad, it's really a nice cartoon that they did about Zacchaeus, but it's wrong.
He
He doesn't come to repentance until Jesus talks to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm, right. You know, that is, I know, you have the impression that, oh, he repents right away.
I know.
But you have to realize, no, this is after he spent a good part of the day with him and talked with him and shared with him the law and the gospel. And that's a result. The result that he was willing to pay fourfold anyone he defrauded, and the result he was willing to give half his goods, that was a result of this wonderful gospel message that he received from Jesus' visit. I mean, this guy was just, it really warms your heart, because he really was, the poor guy had been an outcast, and he was receptive to just any friendship, and especially this good news that his friend of friends was his Savior.
Yes, yes. Well, what's kind of interesting in verse 6, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully.
Joyfully.
Now, where would that joy come from? You already mentioned it, if you think back to what you just said.
Well, I think the joy, I mean, he doesn't know all the details yet.
Right.
He's just overjoyed that somebody's willing to show him some acceptance and love for a change.
I think that's a really good point you're making. So... sometimes we call this pre-evangelism.
Mm-hmm, right.
For example, if Jesus had just walked by, you know, Zacchaeus would at least not have heard the message from him.
Right.
And how many opportunities that we lose out on. There was a very famous conservative who just died. Breitbart was his name. And I saw an hour about him on the... television. They were, you know, bemoaning the fact he had died and such. But I was really surprised. What are these people called that are protesting in front of places right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how much of an influence they have on us.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're protesting. And so he would go there. And what he did when he went to one group, they knew who he was, and so they were... you know, yelling at him, and they didn't like him at all. And he invited them to go to Applebee's with him.
Uh-huh.
And he paid their meal, and he had a conversation
with
him.
And had a conversation with him.
Now, I don't know.
Won him over that way.
Well, I don't know if he did or not.
Uh-huh.
The fact is, can you imagine that? That people who are protesting your point of view...
Well, just like Jesus knows my name. Zacchaeus, how would he know my name? He's heard about Jesus all over Galilee and wherever he's roamed, but this guy knows my name. That must have been an impression on him.
Yeah, now that's interesting. remember when Jesus was it? Who was a disciple he met? Philip, was it?
Philip and Nathaniel.
Bartholomew. Yeah.
Yeah,
how do you know me? You know,
yeah.
After Jesus had said that you are a really honest man of integrity. Well, how do you know me? how do you know my name and such? Yeah, that's a good point that he called him Zacchaeus. And make haste, I must come and stay at your house. Now, another thing the cartoon did, I didn't like, is not only does he come down and says he's a poor, miserable sinner and this sort of thing, but immediately he says, I'm going to give fourfold, and Jesus' eyes get real big.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, as though he's so surprised he's going to be doing
that.
Yeah,
right.
And,
as if you could surprise
Jesus. Well, sometimes you could. He, it says, was surprised when he went to Nazareth how few people he could heal and such like that. But there's something going on here we haven't got to yet, which from my point of view shows a point you had made earlier, that this was in the plan of God. Verse 7, if you read that, and we'll just read verse 7.
Just 7, okay.
Yeah.
And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.
Now, who's saying that?
That's the townspeople, the people of Jericho. You know, the people that all hated Zacchaeus.
Yes.
You know, what does he want? Why would he want anything to do with this man, this tax gatherer?
So, at first reading, they really don't like who?
Well, they don't like Zacchaeus.
That's
but,
right.
But really, it kind of rubs off on Jesus.
Exactly. Well said.
You know.
It's really an attack against Jesus.
Right.
We're going to get back to that in a moment. The numbers here are 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Let's go talk with John. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, Pastor Baker. How are you both today?
Yeah. Doing fine.
Pastor
Good.
Baker, both? What do you think? I'm the bi-trinity? Or
No.
Pastor Smith's here, too. I know.
Yes. I well,
that's okay.
I was actually making a corner there, turning around here in the house. And
that's a synecdoche, isn't it, Tom? Synecdoche, when you talk about one element, you include the both, right?
Like the cup Pastor, which yeah. we drink includes yeah. the wine, yes. Okay. Well, it was good talking to you, John.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to basically just say I had something happen to me this morning. I had on my way to the hardware store. I had stopped off in there and ran across a gentleman who actually happened to be, and I have members of my family that go to his, I guess, congregation, if that's what you want to call it, who happened to be a Jehovah's Witness. In the course, he knew who I was, and I had started to talk with him about plumbing or whatever the case may be. The conversation, of course, did, of course, turn to Scripture. And through the course of conversation, I have to say, you know, there were some chapters, some verses, and things of that nature that just escaped me during the course of the conversation. But I think what was important, and I want to make sure this is a proper way of going about this, that I made sure to keep the gospel of Christ and his salvation front and center to this gentleman.
Good for you.
I told him, you know, he kind of snickered at first, and then yet he told me, he said, well, he says, John, he says, what do I have to do to get this? Why? You know, how do I go about this? And I say, you know, it's already been done for you. That through the cross and through what has happened, you, if you accept him and if the Spirit moves you towards him, you will be saved. Maybe that wasn't the correct exact context, but I could tell by the look on his face that he was really amazed. I don't know if anything happened. I like to think that a seed was planted.
The one thing I might just suggest here,
mm-hmm.
The gospel means, if you're going to say the gospel, mm-hmm. there's really nothing that needs to be done by the person. And remember what you said, if the Holy Spirit moves you to accept
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a condition, again, which
right.
he has no control over. I myself would not have said something like that. I would have just said, you know, when he died even for every one of your sins.
Mm-hmm. And I did point that out later through the conversation. I think it was because, honestly, Pastor Baker, I think the gentleman kind of took me by surprise.
Oh, yeah, when you start witnessing, get ready for surprises.
You know, but when I told him that, you know, Jesus had already, you know, that he had died for everyone's sins, your sins, my sins, everyone's sins. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure. I'm really afraid that my concern is, you know, I hope I don't, if I have planted some type of a seed, or if I have helped this gentleman in any way, but I just don't want to mess up. I want to try to deliver the word properly, and you know, that's a concern of mine.
Yes, well, I think you stick with the gospel and leave the results up to the Holy Spirit. You see, what you went into is a description of how that faith would occur, but it really doesn't help him at all.
Right.
Okay. It's kind of like a parent saying to their children, you know, how does a parent get their children to love them? They just feed them, they dress them, etc. They don't say to the child, now look at, I want you to keep in mind that I'm feeding you, etc., so you get to love me.
Okay.
You see, okay. See the difference?
Sure, absolutely.
You just throw the message and okay. Just stop. And when he says, well, what do I have to do? The answer is
nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
That's the answer. It's not, well, if the Holy Spirit moves you or, you know, works faith in your heart. You know, the very fact that he was getting interested in this shows that he's very near faith, if not already in faith.
Yeah. And I think I think you want to put John's heart at ease, too. He's, you know, put him at ease, Tom, because, you know, God will put the place the words in his mouth. I mean, you want to do the very best job. You want to be as winsome as you can as far as sharing the gospel. The Lord will help you. Pray before you witness, just a quick prayer, and he will direct you to the words he wants you to use.
Okay.
But don't... You can't lose sleep over it. You do the best you can at sharing the gospel, and it's really up to the Holy Spirit anyway.
Sure. Well, I sure do appreciate it, and, you know, I'm going to continue if I run into this gentleman again. He actually was kind of interested, and he actually is the leader, so to speak, of their congregation. And,
wow.
And he was, you know, he wanted to discuss things about, you know, Armageddon and things of that nature. And I told him, I said, all that is, that's part of what's in there. But the first and foremost thing that you have to realize is that you are saved through Christ. Your
yes.
salvation is already there. And I think it shocked him. So.
Oh, yes, because they've never heard this before.
Right. So, when I told him that I had my personal relationship with Jesus, that was another thing that got him. So.
Yeah, even among Protestant denominations, the thing that really stands out with Lutheran theology is what we refer to as objective justification, that the sins of people were all forgiven. And I'll tell you how you can tell that is a lot of evangelicals will say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven.
No, they've already been forgiven.
And we say instead, your sins have been forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right,
and
right.
When he says, what is there I need to do? You just say, nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, what did you do to make your children your children? I mean, what did your children do to make themselves your children?
Nothing. They're there. That's it.
That's right. Even an adopted child.
Right. Hey, guys. Pastors, I sure do appreciate the show, and I truthfully do believe that the Lutheran confessional teaching is the most right that there is, and I sure do appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. And I'm Tom Baker with Pastor Mark Smith, and we are looking at Zacchaeus. We're going to get into a section that I think is really interesting, and you can call us during the break if you have a question, 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Please stay with us through the break.
New constitution in Hungary cheers pro-lifers, shocks others.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A new constitution in Hungary, which took effect earlier this year, gives unapologetic support for unborn human life. It states, human dignity is inviolable. Everyone has the right to life and human dignity. The life of a fetus will be protected from conception. The document goes on to ban human trafficking, torture, cloning, and eugenics. Pro-abortion groups such as Amnesty International and the EU have voiced loud disapproval for the new constitution. Hungary has seen very low birth rates in the last few years, which may account for the government's pro-family push.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
During the season of Lent, KFUL Radio will broadcast live midweek worship services from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County. Be listening Wednesdays in Lent at 11 in the morning for these special broadcasts. Pastor Dennis Kastens will be leading the worship. Lent is a season of preparation so that we all may better appreciate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. KFUL Radio will assist in your preparation. Be listening for our live Lenten worship broadcast Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on KFUL Radio.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, with a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AM 850 KFUO underwriter.
Coming up on the Bible Study Wednesday, just after the 10 o'clock news, as we go further into chapter 25 of Genesis, we see the birth of Esau and Jacob. Now, they wrestled in the womb. These two couldn't get along. One sort of a mama's boy, the other one a hunter and a manly man. But why did God love Jacob and hate Esau? Next time on the Bible Study.
Exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
I received this letter from a listener. She says, I love your station. I live up in North Dakota and listen off my computer, but I would really love to listen on the go on my smartphone. Is there plans for an app for the Android phone? The answer is you can listen to KFUO Radio on your Android phone or BlackBerry. Just go to Wonder Radio, spelt with a U, and download their app. And remember, for your iPhone users, we do have the iPhone app available on our website at kfuo.org.
Has your marriage lost that spark that you used to enjoy? I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and Pam Farrell has a helpful reminder that every couple needs to connect on many different levels.
We like to think of red hot monogamy like the diamond ring that many people have for their wedding ring. I mean, a diamond has many facets to it, and in the same way, intimacy has many facets to it. There's social intimacy and financial intimacy and recreational intimacy and vocational and parental and emotional and spiritual intimacy. If you're fighting over money, there's not going to be a lot of red hot monogamy going on. And if you're not on the same page with your kids and your parenting, chances are those fires are going to be cooled. And so to fan the flame, to add that spark and that sizzle, we want to look at all sides of intimacy.
You'll find trusted resources to help you identify and address the many facets of intimacy at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Tom Baker and Mark Smith back. And the first part of the Zacchaeus story, I think that we would like to summarize, maybe on the basis of Romans 2:11, God shows no partiality. You know, as quickly as he forgives the gossiper, he forgives the abortionist. So you can have a party in heaven. Come one, come all. Come tax evader and tax collector. Come prostitute and penny stealer. It matters not a bit, because Christ's blood covers all sins of every sinner. There are no strings attached, no fine print, no purgatory, no penalty, no punitive damages. So that's what we get out of the first part, is that there is no distinction, and God shows no partiality. Well, what does that mean? God shows no partiality.
That means that, the thief on the cross was just as much saved as Nicodemus.
Yes.
You know, Nicodemus, who had been steeped in the scriptures. But, both of them are precious in God's sight. I mean, but the thief on the cross was just as much saved as Nicodemus. Nicodemus, this very day you'll be with me in paradise.
Do you know what Zacchaeus has been regarded as? What patron saint?
I imagine of what? Small people, maybe.
Very good.
Well, I'm just guessing.
Well, that's a great guess. The height challenge.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
Of the height challenge. But that really misses the point.
Yeah.
Because you get into principles of life that we should be also climbing up into trees to see Jesus and that. But Zacchaeus was as big a sin as anybody, but his sins weren't any more than the Pharisees in the sense that both took the cross of Christ to take care of.
That's right. Yep.
Both take the cross of Christ. And so when it says God shows no partiality, it means in the two senses. First of all, how does he regard you as a sinner? You're all equally a sinner. It all takes the cross of Christ. And once he dies, you're all equally forgiven. It's not that others are more forgiven. I mean, pastors are more holy than other people.
But oh, we're not, come on.
What? Oh, that's not true?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, not at all, boy. Let me tell you.
Well,
we want to be a... We try to be a good example to our people, and we need to be above reproach. That is true, but we all have. Let me tell you. I mean, we've all got sins that we're.
Yeah, but we're so blessed. We never get sick.
Oh, that's baloney, too.
Oh, it is.
I know that myself
from personal experience.
Yes.
Well.
Well, how about what do you say? How about levels of glory, Tom? How does that?
Every time I hear that question, I say, and I'll say it to you, I will answer it if you answer my question.
Okay.
In the Bible, it says there are angels, archangels,
yes.
Cherubim.
Yes.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Thank you.
And that's the answer, right?
That's
right.
Yeah,
we really don't know what the levels of... And that has nothing to do with... It's not... We're all the same bliss... We get to heaven, we'll have the same bliss.
Yeah, there's not going to be a distinction in bliss.
You're not going to be envious of anybody.
No.
So-and-so has more glory. It's just, but it is part of the information we're given, is there will be...
I do have a theory.
Okay.
Each of us have been given a certain amount of abilities, spirit, etc. And God can measure what percentage of what he's given us we use. That's the only thing I've been able to come up with. So let's say I'm a pastor and I use 65% of all the stuff that I've been given, but there's a shut-in in bed, who still makes phone calls and witnesses and uses 98%. She'll have a higher degree of glory than I will.
Well, like the widow's mite.
Yes,
Jesus,
the widow's mite over
the
Pharisees.
She gave everything.
Yeah. So, you see, this is so confusing about the Bible. You read the widow's mite, you give 100%. Then you read this story, and you're supposed to give half. So I like Zacchaeus better because you can keep half for yourself. But then you got to give four times if you ever defrauded anybody. So, boy, am I glad I didn't defraud anybody.
Uh-huh, yeah, right.
Ouch. Boy, my back hurts every now and then, Mark. I have no idea why that is. Now, reading up on this, I found what I consider to be some errors. Item said that salvation didn't come to this man because of his big-heartedness.
No.
But because of his faith in Jesus. And I disagree with that. Because that is, therefore, answering the question, why does salvation come to some and not others? And to say that it comes because of your faith in Jesus, no, that is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that Jesus says here that I don't find it anywhere else. And so we really need to read the rest of Luke chapter 19.
Okay, we read through 7, I think.
So go 8 to 10.
And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Now,
he's a son of Abraham in the true sense, by faith.
No.
By grace through faith.
No, that's where I'll disagree with you.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Straighten me out.
He's a son of Abraham, and that's why Jesus came to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no evidence that he believed before Jesus got there. So what's Jesus talking about?
I would think by faith. By faith he is a son of Abraham. By faith we are all sons of Abraham.
When did you become a son of Abraham?
On my baptism.
See, I would go to Ephesians 1.
Which is, what does it say? Tell me what
from it says. From the foundation of the world.
Oh, from the foundation. Oh, in other words, the son of Abraham, you mean, is
he was
in
the elect.
He was the elect. Son of Abraham. In other words, the son of Abraham is one of the elect.
In fact,
I like that.
In fact, listen to verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. What is salvation?
Forgiveness. Forgiveness, life, and eternal.
I know. It's the forest for the trees. Who came to his house?
Jesus.
He's salvation.
He's salvation.
Yes.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking earlier. Well, Jesus came to his house that day. Salvation came to his house personified.
Because
he's son of Abraham.
He's part of the elect from before the foundation of the world.
Yeah, you know, I
it fits just what you were telling me to be careful with John about. That don't give him something that he worries at night over.
Right.
You know, you do the best you can.
Right.
And here's the point. This is so comforting to me. How many times have you and I not said something that might have moved somebody to become a member of our church, and they haven't? Or maybe because it's something we said and they got offended or something.
Right. Maybe.
That never bothers me.
That's right.
Because that means God's using somebody else if they're the elect.
That's right. They will be saved.
And that's why I almost said it when you said that
You should have.
No, I did not, because I would give this away then.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The point is this, is that you never have to worry that you're responsible for sending anybody to hell.
No, that's right.
No, because the elect will always be, if not by you,
by someone else. Yeah.
And so you still put together the best sermon
you can.
Not because it is going to save everybody, but because it still comforts the ones who are believers.
Sure.
A good sermon still is necessary. Remember the two points of a sermon. We're trying to get people to think like God, so you want to give them some insight they never heard of, and second of all, a comfort level. So when they walk out of the worship, they're more comforted than they walked in. But that's why Jesus stopped. He sees them up in the limb of the sycamore, and he sees them as the elect.
I must stay in your house today.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have to. And because if I don't, well, you know, you're part of the elect.
And
that's what I've come for. In fact, he even says it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was
lost.
So Zacchaeus is lost.
Right.
But Jesus comes to his house.
He's still a son of Abraham, right?
Son of Abraham from before the foundation of the world, not because he came to faith.
Is there a danger of placing too much emphasis on the son of Abraham, on people being elect? Should we we have to be careful not to place too much emphasis in order to think, what the heck? You know, I don't really have to do that good a job preaching, or I have to worry about this guy. I don't have to make that evangelism call, or I don't have to make that visit, because what the heck? He's elect anyway. Somebody else will save him somehow.
That may be a way that would go too far, but the fact of the matter is, when you're in love with Jesus, you want... Remember, from our point of view,
you want to do
it's well. Far better that they become Lutheran than something else, because the reason we're Lutheran is it has got all the comfort, right. Whereas if you're of another denomination, like, let's just say, Roman Catholic, you can't be sure you're not going to purgatory.
That's right.
Lutherans know we're not, because there is no such thing.
Right.
So that's
why we have a full assurance that Christ has paid the price.
Absolutely. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Let's go talk with Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I just have a couple questions related to your comment. You said something about some and not others being saved. How is that different from Calvinism? And also you had said something about Zacchaeus being a son or a relative of Abraham because he was an elect. But aren't we all sons and daughters because of Adam and Eve? They're our father, and we're all related because Adam and Eve was our mother and father, right? I appreciate...
No, stay on while we go kind of through this.
Okay.
The first question was...
How is some and not others...
Calvinism. How's our position different from Calvinism?
Yes, exactly.
Well, see, we believe that God has elected, he has his elect, but that does not mean we can't jump to the conclusion that he has elected others for hell.
They believe in double predestination, we don't. Okay. They believe that God predestines not only people to heaven, but also to hell. Because they enter the point at a different point than we do. We enter the point at justification by grace through faith. That is our criteria for judging all of Scripture. They enter the Scripture that God is sovereign. And what they mean by that is, therefore, nothing happens that God doesn't do.
Right.
Well, we disagree with that. We don't think that God is responsible for Adam and Eve falling into sin.
Okay.
That's not something he did. That's something we did.
Right, okay.
So the way I explain this to someone, and by the way, you're going to agree with me, Sue, when I ask you these two questions, and you'll understand the Lutheran point of view. Here's the two questions. Number one, if you go to heaven, who gets all the credit?
Jesus Christ, God.
If you go to hell, who gets all the blame?
Me.
Thank you. That's the Lutheran point of view.
But the only reason why I have faith is because of the Holy Spirit put there by God.
Okay, you're right. Asking the question, why are some saved and not others?
Okay, but that's Calvinism to me. And I know what you're saying. You're saying that it's because of me that I go to hell.
Yes.
But doesn't that also mean that God didn't put the Holy Spirit in me?
No. Find me the Bible verse.
I don't have one for
no,
that.
It doesn't matter. You can take any Bible. You'll never find it. Okay. Here's the Bible verse we use.
Okay.
God desires all men to be
saved.
Saved.
Right.
Okay, he can't have two wills. He can't desire and will somebody go to hell.
Okay.
At the same time, he desires them to be saved. So okay. From God's point of view, he is not held responsible at all for anybody going to hell, but he gets all the credit for somebody going to heaven.
Okay. So are you saying some can go to heaven that God didn't elect?
No.
No.
Only the elect go to heaven.
Oh. Okay.
And every single one of the elect will finally be saved.
Yes. But there's no way in our mind to rationalize how God works.
No.
Because this is part of the hidden God, because he hasn't revealed to us the answer to this question.
The question why some people are saved and not others, we cannot answer that question. That's the...
And anybody who attempts to do so is always teaching false doctrine.
That's right.
All right. Okay, well, I'm just going to go with that. That's it. I appreciate your...
What's the second question?
Okay, the second one is, aren't we all relatives of Abraham? Because Adam and Eve are everyone's mother and father.
Okay, I would point you to Romans chapter 9, and verse 6 says this, they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham... But, listen to verse 8, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. This is a law gospel thing that it doesn't matter if you can point your relationship back to Abraham. Jesus said God could make relatives
out of stones.
Out of stones. What counts is whether you trust in Jesus. These are the true seed of Abraham, Jew or Gentile, not those who are in the flesh related. So we're related to one another by being created and having fallen into sin, but when it comes to redemption, only those of the promise are the children of God.
Only those who believe.
Who believe, yes.
Okay, got that one. All right, I appreciate your help in having a deeper understanding.
Thank you for
about
calling.
Those points. My pleasure. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too. God bless.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, I knew we would get some calls when we talked about the elect, because
yeah.
this
oh,
is
yeah.
a really, really tough. In fact, this is a law gospel point of view. There are some teachings you say to unbelievers that you, put it this way, there are some you say to believers you want to say to unbelievers.
That is right.
Yeah.
That is right.
And this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't...
When do you bring up the teaching of the elect?
When somebody's really troubled.
Excellent.
When they really need
that's
the assurance
great,
and
yeah,
comfort.
That's a law gospel thing. Mm-hmm. Because the law tells us what they're... Like, if they say, oh, I'm good enough to go to heaven, you wouldn't bring up the elect then.
No.
But if you've got a person who says, you know, Pastor, I just can't stop from sinning, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm really concerned at whether I really am a Christian or not.
Well said.
Yeah.
Then is when you bring up the elect and say, well, you know, first of all, you sound a lot like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And remember who he turned to be delivered from that terrible state, and that was to Jesus Christ. And then I would bring up, like you talked about earlier, baptism.
Yeah, baptism. In fact, I remember one of my professors, Professor Okamoto, he says, how do I know I'm elect? He says, you're baptized.
That's right. It's the same thing you do with an adopted child.
Yeah.
How do I know I'm adopted? Well, here's the adoption certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't feel adopted...
There's the assurance. You know, you can't base it on your feelings.
Have you... Well, maybe this is more personal than anything. I have never felt forgiven.
I can understand that.
Don't be so quick. Thanks a lot. Because I just feel that I deserve some kind of consequence to sin,
mm-hmm.
you know. Now, hopefully I'm not like the Pharisees, who don't mind Jesus forgiving someone if, first of all, he really blasts them, you know, so to speak. Like, we don't like... It's fine that Jesus is forgiving other people, but we don't want Jesus forgiving people that he hasn't really been put in place, you know, first of all. It's really hard for us.
Come again with that, Tom. I'm not sure if I heard you say what you were saying just now.
Okay. I believe that most of us don't have a problem with the forgiveness of sins as long as it's not somebody who sinned against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Because
right.
that ruffles our feathers.
That's right.
If God's going to absolve them, fine. But first of all, he should at least make them black and blue
mm-hmm.
first.
Yeah.
Give them a taste of their own medicine.
And then he can forgive them if he wants.
So
mm-hmm. that's kind of the way that's our old Adam coming through.
While we expect Jesus to readily wipe our slate clean, no questions asked, we want him to send others through their own personal purgatory first.
Yes.
And I got those ideas from the Concordia Publishing House, Growing in Christ. The teacher's guide. It's an excellent teacher's guide. In fact,
do they actually say that? We want them to go through their own purgatory. Is that in there?
Well, let me look. Maybe I just said something here. I'm going to hand you the book. And I want you to read. Okay. See the section on law on the left?
Yeah.
Read the last sentence in that paragraph.
Okay. So while we expect the Lord to readily wipe our slate clean, no questions asked, we want him to send others through their own personal purgatory first. Yeah, so you've got to... You've got a CPH book talking about purgatory.
Yes. Concordia Publishing House, yeah.
No, that's a good, obviously, good book.
Yeah, you didn't believe it was in there,
yeah,
did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I thought it was a little...
Well, remember, I'm a super plagiarist. The reason I'm so good is I steal everything. That's good. I look at phrases. In fact, I don't know who does. They don't. I don't think mention the name of the person. It used to be Jim Veltz that did these, but they have such a way of doing words.
Yes,
it's just really well done. What am I? I'm reading something right now that's kind of like that. Has a way of doing words, and Peter Krause.
Yes.
In his books, he has a lot of that.
Oh, he does. He sure does.
Play on words.
Yes,
and, stuff like
and rhyming and stuff like that. Yes.
Alliteration and he also enjoys that other phrase you used before, where you have all the letters.
Acronym.
Yeah, acronyms. He's got a lot of acronyms. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
All righty. Let's go talk with Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hello. How are you doing?
You're on the air, sir. We're doing fine.
Okay. Maybe it's just the wording, but maybe you can help me sort it out when it comes to the election. You say, you know, if people ask why are some saved and some are not, but according to the Bible, the whole world is saved, and our election is in Jesus Christ. So anybody that does not reject is elected.
No, no. I'll tell you. First of all, you can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says everybody's saved. What it says is that the sins of everyone has been forgiven. And that God is reconciled to the whole world, and therefore I would urge you to turn to the 2 Corinthians passage where it says that the problem is people aren't reconciled to God, and that's the task that we have. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. So, everyone's sins are forgiven. God is reconciled to them, but you don't go to heaven because of that. You go to heaven because you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins through faith. So, unless there's faith, we have no assurance a person is saved.
Yeah, I guess I got my thinking from John 3:16, but once I started going over back in my head...
Well, he did atone the whole world. He did die... God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's true.
How did John 3:16 give you that?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I guess as I brought it back through my head, I was thinking it did not say that everybody was saved. It said God so loved the world, and I just assumed, I guess, through that the world was saved. But, you know, I thought I read that somewhere that, you know, that the whole world was saved through Christ. It just seems like that's somewhere, and I can't remember where.
You mean in the Bible?
Yes.
No, the whole world was reconciled to God. The sins of the whole world.
He redeemed.
But even John 3:16 is clear, because after he says he gave his only begotten son for the whole world, that whoever believes in him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're Lutheran, which means we are absolutely bound to the Bible. But it doesn't mean God is bound to the Bible. Do you know what we mean by that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it means that God could have other ways of saving that he hasn't told us, although we don't rely on that.
Yeah,
but the best example is John the Baptizer. How was he saved? In the womb.
Well, he was saved filled with the Holy Spirit already in his mother's womb.
Yeah, and that's not a way
that... But you can't jump to the conclusion that everybody's saved.
Yeah. So it's kind of an open question, Phil, but we sure appreciate it. And
all right, thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow, of course, if we want to continue this. Well, tomorrow night, what are you preaching on?
I'm preaching, it's the title of the sermon, On the Way to the Roman Tribunal. It's Christ before Pilate. Once again, he's come back from Herod, and now he's once again before Pilate.
Okay, and we're kind of out of time.
7 p.m.
So we'll talk about your Saturday and Sunday when we see you on Thursday. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.